Well, my name is David Henry, and I was here to kind of help jog Wally's memory on some of his events over there in Italy.
Oh, did you tell him about the crystal radio you made out of the throat mic?
Oh, well,
Yeah, that's all interesting stuff, you know.
you remember that?
Yeah, but it wasn't really a crystal.
No,
Well,
but
tell me the story. Do you remember it?
well, we had to get radio or something. We had to have electricity. So what did they do? They went across the road and the roof over there. They buried some telephone wire, which was a lot of it around down there, and they hooked it to the tent across the street, to get the electricity. And they dug a little trench in the road, and then they brought it, up again. And that's what they put that crystal in in a radio, I think.
Yeah, and you had everybody believing that
Would
this is
come,
that there's a crystal in a rock or something that was doing it, called a crystal radio. And what it was, the throat mic is a contact mic. So they had the throat mic pretty well taped or attached to a real radio, and everybody wanted to know, well, gee, how are you doing now? Oh, it's a crystal. You got to hook it up to these crystal rocks.
They finally got smart, the electricians, because we never got electricity over there for a long time.
Yeah.
And because run over that cable too many times, and it was dry, and it peeled her off, and it shorted out.
Oh.
At first, we went over there. We had a Jeep motor of an oil power plant,
Yeah.
and we had a goofy little kid that was born. One was supposed to keep a, because it burned oil, it was a scrap one, but it ended up that it wore through, and that's what, the wires got together. And then, so we didn't have no crystal radio no more.
And your crystal radio. Well, now, another story I recall is that you had a pilot that complained a lot about his plane shimmied on takeoff and landing, and everybody looked at it and said, well, they couldn't find anything wrong with it. And
Oh,
so
that was.
then you're going to have a maximum effort mission, right?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't my plane.
Yeah.
It was my plane. If it was, it was one that come back from Germany. It wasn't, because, yeah, I can remember that plane.
But then,
It was in sad shape when it come back.
then it had a, but you when you inspected it, you found a crack in some kind of a housing around the nose gear.
Yep.
And so this lieutenant went ballistic when you grounded it,
Yeah.
even though his people hadn't been able to find the problem.
Yeah.
But it was going to be a death trap if that broke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of my crew members was really the one that found it.
Was that right?
Yeah. He was pretty good,
But you were the crew chief, right?
Yeah.
So if the crew member did it, you
Yeah.
taught them what to do, so you get part of the glory as well,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Probably saved 10 lives there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one that come back from Russia.
From Russia.
Yeah. And the plane originally belonged to one of the crew chiefs, or had, he had it. But they should have given the plane back too, because boy, it needed a lot of work. And they was going to try, well, the lieutenant that run the maintenance on the stuff, it ended up that he released it to go, because they wanted, some of them got kind of wild a little bit about, they wanted to have the most planes in the air, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that was, you know, and if you have, if it was only one missing, you know, why, maybe two, three crews would get on it and get it fixed. But this one here, it was so bad they didn't want to, you know, spend any more money and time on it. But it ended up, it never got it in the air again, I don't think. At least it hadn't when I left there.
Okay, I'm sure you talked about when you had to bail out of the...
Nope.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Nope.
Recall the time you went up on a test flight and someone had left the gas caps off of the wings, the plane caught on fire, and everybody bailed out but the pilot?
Yeah.
And the pilot flew the plane around and landed it, but describe, as I recall, you told me that your chute harness wasn't on real tight, and it was quite a shock when you pulled the rip cord.
Yeah, it was, you know, pretty quick, too. I mean, it wasn't very high.
Yeah.
And
how high is not very high?
I don't know. Well, they just took off.
Yeah.
I know it was probably less than 1,000 feet.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, only 1,000 feet. Yeah.
That isn't a lot of time for a chute to open, though.
I know.
Well, all of them was them fresh chutes.
Yeah.
Whether it fits you or not, you had one.
So what happened? So the pilot landed the plane?
Yeah. He brought it back to the field.
Right.
It's because he'd taken off and he'd turned to the right, you know, and was headed out, you know, and to join the rest of them. But,
and what happened to the plane then? What condition was the plane in?
It blew out.
Fire blew out.
Yeah. It just got gas and it. It just all, what gas got on the wings, so it just, you know, phew, and that was it.
But as I recall, you said you heard somebody shout fire and everybody bailed out but the pilot.
Yeah, could have been.
Yeah.
I know I got the hell out of there.
was that the norm? Like if a situation like that happened, was the pilot supposed to stay there? Was he being heroic or what?
Most of the time it was.
Most of the time they stayed or they bailed?
A lot of times they stayed.
Uh-huh.
Especially when they used the chutes for a rope to so they could catch the wind.
Oh, use them for brakes, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'd stay and they did that, why? You might as well kiss goodbye because if they're landing too fast, they break the tie.
Yeah, yeah.
They use just the.
You're talking about now when they would tie a parachute to something in the airplane and throw it out to slow the airplane down.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, and if they're. They got no brakes, you know. They're and so they can't do an awful lot.
Yeah,
but they sometimes that was pretty successful, you know.
Yeah,
but then it got where I don't know whether they threw it out too early, you know, and it was on fell and it just pulled it away from the plane entirely, and then it really went. Had a little slingshot to it, and then it went down over a bank where they kept oil and stuff like that, mostly oil, you know.
Yeah.
And well, gas too, they had gas down there, and they'd usually hit that. Mm-hmm. And that they never got out of it.
Now, but this is not the plane you bailed out of, is it, that you're talking about?
No.
This
no.
is a different area. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's a lot better if you bail out before, you know.
Yes.
Get too much of a fire. But a lot of times they do that. Their manifold would pick up too much gas, too. Mm-hmm. And then it'd all go at once. The carburetor or something, I don't know. We had one that did pop and blow and everything else, and that's what killed our engineering officer. They had a new crew come in, and the engineering officer, he decided he was going to take this out and test fly this plane. And some of the ground crew went on it, too. And while they was doing it, the engineering officer was in the back, in the back part of the plane. And the pilots that was flying it, they was trying out the, gee, I wish I wrote that down.
Okay, so what happened anyway? What was the end result with the engineering officer?
He got killed.
Plane ended up crashing?
Yep. Yeah. Because they was fooling with the flaps.
Yeah, your trim tabs?
The trim tabs.
Okay.
And they was fooling with that. Uh-huh. And he noticed, you know, because it showed on him. And he was clear in the back, and he went through in the middle of the plane, you know, the bomb bay, and it ended up that's where they ended. He got killed right there.
Well, now you flew at least one combat mission, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, well, I can't remember just where it was. It wasn't. I can't remember if it was combat, because I'd done a lot of test hopping, you know, testing after you got it done.
So when you finished working on a plane, you'd go on the plane with the crew to test to make sure the plane was okay?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the truth.
But I recall you said that you on one occasion you traded dog tags with somebody, and I don't remember.
Oh yeah, that there was a little I don't know what he was, but he was a cute little kid. You know, he was just a kid. He was a gunner, and he was scared to go on the flight because of his race. And so I said, oh, heck, use my dog tags and then you'll be all right. Huh. And he did. He come back.
Was he Jewish?
Yeah, I think that
okay,
was.
Okay, that was 500 trade yeah. dog tags. Okay.
Yeah, because he was scared to. And he'd had quite a few missions in too, but then he still was. And a guy like that, scares you anyway.
Yeah, he didn't want to get shot down and have dog tags showing he was a Jewish lad.
Yeah.
Now you told me one time about you did fly a combat mission and there were some fighter attacks up to the front of the group, but that they didn't come close to your elements.
Very possible. I can't remember, because every once in a while they'd be missing a guy.
Yeah.
And I'd go, but. But I can't remember that. I can't. And maybe I was bullshitting you. I don't know.
But I rather doubt that.
Now it all comes out.
You recall the aircraft that the pilot was always complaining it didn't perform well.
Yeah.
And
And so you went to look at it, and there were flak vests draped all over everything inside?
It was. That's true.
Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, that, and then flight jackets were heavy. They don't put near bend the gas line, just hanging on. Yeah, I don't know, they slipped by with a couple of times, I guess, and they finally, the pilot was hollering at everyone, didn't have enough poop and stuff. And so I done everything looking for something, you know, that in the engine and the rest of it, but in the plane itself, but I couldn't. And finally, I went into the inside, and there they were, laying all over, hanging all over.
So the crew had put their flak vests on the fuel line?
Oh, yeah. Well, whatever, all the line, hydraulic lines or whatever, it's in the open, you know.
Oxygen.
Yeah, the oxygen. Well, the oxygen's down pretty low. It's down, clear down at bottom of them, but
these were flak vests over and above what the crew would wear, right? This is a lot of extra flak vests.
Oh yeah, that's
a lot of extra tonnage there.
Yeah, that's what it was. And they, but that soon ended. That didn't last very long. Because it got that, threw them in a pickup and hauled them away.
I recall you said one time that when you first got over there, you just pretty much settled in, and then toward the end of the war, you know, when you first got to the front lines, were like a mile and a half away or 10 miles away.
7 miles away.
And nobody stood guard or anything, but by the end of the war, there wasn't any more combat.
No, so then they had... we had colored for a while up on the hill,
yeah,
with the machine guns or something. I don't know what to. I know I didn't go close, but because.
But in any case, you had to start standing guard after the war was pretty much over.
Yeah, after the after the war was over.
So you didn't stand guard during the war, but you did after the war.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, but I didn't stand guard much, because I'd take the Jeep and place them, you know, just give them a rifle and run down there. And we had a kind of the lieutenants they was supposed to do the, you know, selecting where they. And it was kind of a joke.
Yeah.
That was all it was.
Okay.
Then you told me once about a B-17 that had, it was coming to land in your field, had a bomb hung up in the bomb bay, and hit the ground too hard. And
that was a 24.
Well, that was a 24.
And what happened? Hit the ground too hard? What happened?
The bomb fell out and went off.
What happened to the plane?
All little pieces.
Really?
Big, and a big hole in the ground. Yeah, that's... We had a couple of planes that blew up. And then we had some that didn't. Yeah, I watched it blow up. And we had guys that tried things and they didn't work. And especially ones with, you know, no brakes, where they've lost their hydraulic system. But that was one nice thing about the stick. That was the first, that was my plane that they've done, put that in.
Yeah.
And that was one nice thing that, you know, they could, you know, move it.
Mm-hmm. It maneuvered better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one guy, you could switch hands to it. It broke their signals from the other one. And then depending on who wants to fly it.
Yeah.
That was
about. Oh, really?
Yeah, and that was all hooked up to that. Which was a good idea.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you talking to me today, and I appreciate your service.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you very much.